From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely those of the podcast author or individuals participating in the podcast and do not necessarily represent those of iHeartMedia, How Stuff Works, or its employees.
Robert Graysmith is the author of a book called Zodiac. What happens 33 years later when you still don't have the killer? Are there still people working on this case? Are there still tips coming in? Anything to this investigation?
Absolutely. You know, we're pretty certain we know who he was, and he died with bombs in his basement and the Zodiac bomb formula, a disc in his computer that said Zodiac. I'm pretty sure that the case is solved. So much information and so much attention was focused on the prime suspect in the case, the man who actually was the first suspect, who knew all the victims, who stalked them, who had the skills and intelligence to write the letters and to commit the crimes, was literally stopped dead in his tracks. He was watched, eventually sent to prison for child molesting, during which there were no more activities from the Zodiac.
The suspect that was focused on and highlighted in the film and in Graysmith's book, and to a certain extent even for Toski and Armstrong, Arthur Lee Allen was what they call a good suspect.
It's probably Arthur Lee Allen. That was what all the main guys investigating it here thought. I think Arthur Lee Allen was the guy.
I enjoy a good tussle, but hey, there were coincidences that tended to point towards me and killing just for the pleasure of it. Thank God for our Constitution, because that says a person is innocent until proven guilty.
A man in a mask robbed, tied, and stabbed them, leaving them for dead.
Subject stated, I want to report a murder. No, a double murder. I did it.
A man who wore a medieval-style executioner's hood, carried a knife and gun, and intended to use them.
They haven't arrested me because they can't prove a thing. I'm not the damn Zodiac.
Who is the Zodiac, and where is he?
From iHeartRadio, How Stuff Works, and Tenderfoot TV, this is Monster, the Zodiac Killer. The Zodiac case is rife with mystery. First and foremost, the Zodiac's true identity. Up to this point, there'd only been vague glimpses of the man behind the moniker. Witness descriptions were cloudy. He was only ever seen in the dark of night, or behind a terrifying costume. We heard a strange voice call into a TV show, but it wasn't actually the Zodiac. So, who was this guy? For years, it seemed like there would never be an answer. But then, a name, a face, and a voice were finally attached to the Zodiac. Publicly, one man became the most visible and likely suspect.
One of the prime suspects in the Zodiac case over the years was a man who was initially identified for reasons we don't know in October of 1969.
This is Zodiac expert Michael Butterfield.
Arthur Lee Allen was a former school teacher who was working as a janitor, largely because he had been caught molesting children and had lost his job. For some reason, John Lynch of the Vallejo Police Department went and questioned Arthur Lee Allen on October 6, 1969, regarding his whereabouts at the time of the stabbing at Lake Berryessa. Allen said that he was at Salt Point Ranch and he had killed some chickens and that he didn't have any involvement in the crime.
Salt Point is about 90 miles west of Lake Berryessa. It's close, but not close enough. And with no direct evidence linking him to the murder, Allen was let go.
After that, the police forgot about Arthur Lee Allen. And then in 1971, an estranged friend of Allen's went to police and said that prior to the Zodiac murders, Arthur Lee Allen had professed his desire to kill people and write letters to the media calling himself Zodiac. The police investigated. The Vallejo police and the San Francisco police, including Bill Armstrong and Dave Toski, spent about 2 weeks investigating Arthur Lee Allen and gathering information, talking to people who knew him, including his brother and sister-in-law, and the individual who made this claim, Don Chaney. Don Chaney was first friends with Arthur Lee Allen's brother, Ron, and that's how he got to know Arthur Lee Allen, or who was normally referred to as Lee. They became friends. They would hunt and fish and drink together and do things. But then at a certain point, it appears that Arthur Lee Allen attempted to molest one of Don Chaney's children. Don Chaney complained to Lee's brother, Ron, and was adamant that something had happened, and he was very upset about it. And he apparently severed his relationship with Arthur Lee Allen at that time. According to Chaney's timing of events, this occurred sometime in 1968, the last time he had ever talked to Arthur Lee Allen.
According to Vallejo PD detective George Bauert, Allen told Chaney he wanted to write a novel. And in this novel, a character would do the following things: kill random couples, taunt police with letters recounting his crimes, wear makeup to disguise himself, secure a flashlight to his gun so he could shoot in the dark, call himself Zodiac. Chaney was questioned again about this story years later, and these new details were recorded by Detective Bauert. Chaney recalled that Allen was gifted a Zodiac brand watch by his mother, and on the face of this watch, there was a symbol, a circle with a cross through it. Chaney said Allen wanted to sign letters with the same cross circle symbol from his watch. Chaney also claims that Allen wanted to fool women into stopping their cars in isolated areas. He would claim they had problems with their tires, then loosen their lug nuts and take them captive. Shortly after this, investigators learned of a connection to Darlene Farron, who was shot and killed by the Zodiac at Blue Rock Springs. As it turns out, Allen's family home was just a fraction of a mile away from the restaurant where Darlene worked. And Allen supposedly said he had become friendly with a waitress at that restaurant. Police records say an unidentified man named Lee often visited Darlene, so it's possible Allen was stalking Darlene.
There was also a story that Arthur Lee Allen may have used a friend's car to commit the murder at Blue Rock Springs because the surviving victim said that the killer was driving a car similar to Darlene's brown Corvair. Allen was working at a gas station where a friend of his had apparently put a car up for sale, and the theory was that he had taken the car and committed the crime because Allen did not own a Corvair or any vehicle similar to one. And eventually, in 1972, the San Francisco Police Department obtained a warrant to search Arthur Lee Allen's trailer in Santa Rosa, California.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent, telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On September 14, 1972, San Francisco police obtained a warrant and searched Allen's trailer. Here's a partial list of what police were looking for. Writings, letters, and cryptograms in the same handwriting as suspect letters. Any pistol with a flashlight attached to the barrel. A blood-stained portion of cloth from a striped gray and white shirt. The wallet or identification of Paul Stein. Taxi keys from a yellow cab. A black executioner-type hood with a circle and cross on it. A large knife with a wooden handle.
They did find some oddities in his home, like dead squirrels in his refrigerator that he was using for his biology classes, some sex toys, guns, things like that.
Investigators found many bizarre things, but they didn't find any of the materials they were looking for. So they had no hard evidence to use against Allen. They did, however, obtain his fingerprints and samples of his writing. Those were thoroughly cross-examined with the Zodiac letters.
And that's when they learned that his fingerprints and handwriting didn't match, and so essentially Arthur Lee Allen was abandoned as a suspect.
Yet again, Arthur Lee Allen was let off the hook. Despite some suspicious activity, Allen was in the clear. Until...
years later, a best-selling book came out called Zodiac, written by Robert Graysmith.
I still talk to the investigators on the case. Inspector David Toski, who was the main man on the case, he believes it was Arthur Lee Allen, the main man in Vallejo. George Bauert, who's retired now, he thinks it was Arthur Lee Allen. Virtually all of the top investigators, men who I really respect, believe that this was the man.
That was Robert Graysmith. In the early 70s, he was a political cartoonist at the San Francisco Chronicle. Graysmith developed an obsession with the Zodiac case, and so he was doing his own private investigation. In 1986, Graysmith published a book containing his complete findings on the case. It was simply titled Zodiac, and it went on to sell over 3 million copies.
And in that book, Graysmith had given Arthur Lee Allen the pseudonym Bob Hall Star. A lot of people started to figure out that Arthur Lee Allen was Bob Hall Star. People in the Bay Area realized he was the person they were talking about. And that book, of course, because it was a best-selling book, had a tremendous influence on the public and the media.
Arthur Lee Allen, a longtime Vallejo resident and former professional student, is the man many still believe to be the dreaded Zodiac. In Robert Graysmith's best-selling book, Zodiac, the suspect's brother and sister-in-law say that Allen often spoke of man as the most dangerous game. His own family at one time found him terrifying.
Graysmith connected many dots between Arthur Lee Allen and the Zodiac, one of which is that Allen was allegedly in Riverside when Sherry Joe Bates was murdered in 1966. The Vallejo Police Department had placed him in the area, and when questioned, Allen said he was in nearby Pomona during the Bates murder. He also called in sick from his job on November 1st, the day after Bates was found dead. It's possible Allen missed work to hide facial wounds inflicted by his victim. You may also remember that Zodiac left behind a footprint at Lake Berryessa. That footprint was made by a military boot. This suggested the Zodiac had some military experience. Arthur Lee Allen had numerous connections to the military. His father was the commander of a nuclear submarine at nearby Mare Island. Allen himself was in the Navy for less than 2 years before being discharged, other than honorably. While there, Graysmith believes Allen developed an interest in codes and ciphers. Much of this is hearsay. The Zodiac book laid out one undeniable mark against Allen. Graysmith points out that the last official Zodiac letter came on July 8, 1974. Only a few months later, Allen would go to prison on child molestation charges. During Allen's time in prison, there were no Zodiac letters. Then, in 1978, just months after Allen was released, a new letter showed up at the San Francisco Chronicle.
Dear editor, this is the Zodiac speaking. I am back with you. I am waiting for a good movie about me. Who will play me? I am now in control of all things. Yours truly, Zodiac, guess. San Francisco Police Department, zero.
It's important to note here that this letter was never authenticated. We'll get into that in a later episode. Still, many investigators found this coincidence to be striking. Graysmith built a massive case of circumstantial evidence against Arthur Lee Allen, and it was enough to convince a lot of readers of his guilt. Was Allen truly the villain Graysmith made him out to be? Or was Allen just an incredibly strange individual? We asked someone who knew Allen personally.
He had a few chipmunks at his house. One time he came in the shop after he had a job up in the foothills, and he carried one around on his shoulder. And I think that was from when he worked up in the hills where he, you know, he said, come on up and I'll show you kids how to sail.
This is Carl Eubner. He ran a blacksmith shop in downtown Vallejo. Arthur Lee Allen came by frequently.
He came down to Vallejo and came into the shop and said, why don't you bring the kids up and I'll, teach them the sailing. And I said to my wife, I got to do that sometime, but we never did. And then I found out he was canned anyway, and that ended that. So I never did go up there.
We also talked with Mark Eubner, Carl's son. At the time, he was just a kid.
When I heard that story, my first reaction was, he certainly wouldn't mess with the kids of a friend of his. I'd be surprised.
I knew Arthur Lee Allen in school. He was a half a grade behind me, but we knew each other. And then later on, he would come in his shop once in a while. He worked on his car, so we did blacksmith work. We made things like gates, railings. We'd weld something up for him. Lee Allen, at a time, worked at Ace Hardware down half a dozen blocks from the shop on Tennessee Street.
Eventually, Mark and Carl started interviewing each other, and Mark had a lot of questions for his dad.
What about when he had the rear end done at the
shop? Well, he was one instant he had the, what a rear end is on the car, and the old cars, they're pretty heavy. And so we did some work on it. He came and picked it up, and he just grabbed it and put it up over his head and walked out. And one of the guys kind of shook his head and, what the heck, but I don't think it was that so much that he was so strong. It was just odd that he did it that way, but most guys wouldn't do that. But he was a pretty strong guy. He came in one time and said, hey, I have this letter. He just said that he was no longer a suspect in the Zodiac case.
I was thinking about this earlier. So like when he came in with the letter, was he just saying, here's the letter, I'm exonerated? Or was like, Carl, trust me, man, this isn't me. I mean, I'm wondering how, if he was emphatic at all or just blasé about
that. No, I wouldn't say blasé, but he just came in and said, hey, I got something to show you or whatever he said. And then here's a letter from the Sonoma County Sheriff that says that I'm not a suspect or
anymore,
whatever the wording was, that I'm not a suspect anymore.
Because I think you also told me once that he needed that letter because he kind of couldn't get a job. He had to have that letter so he could go apply for a job.
He didn't have to show the letter, but he did. If it ever came up and said, hey, look, I think a lot of people were a little bit leery of him probably after that. As far as I know, he did not have a girlfriend. He never mentioned it and I never seen him with one. He was kind of a loner in that respect. I don't want to describe him as a loner, but I don't know. But he did have friends, I guess. I never really seen him with anybody. He was always by himself.
But let me just, I'm curious. So like if you saw his name in the paper or saw his name in the news, did you think? Like, hey, that's my friend?
Yeah, we weren't qualified a friend. We weren't buddies. I knew him from school and a little bit after school, and we were friendly on good terms.
And did you ever think he did it?
It ran through my mind, of course, yeah.
Yeah, it was just weird to think that I knew the guy as a kid. I knew my dad knew him. It's one of those things that I would love to know what the real answer is. I would love to know if it was him. I've seen other suspects' name, but obviously the only one that is in my head is Lee Allen. I certainly believe he could have been. I mean, again, I didn't know him like my dad, but just all the stuff I've read and seen about him, it seems plausible. I'd say that. It certainly seems plausible that he could have been the guy.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In December of 1990, another individual from Arthur Lee Allen's past, another person who he had a falling out with, came forward and claimed that shortly before the Zodiac murdered cab driver Paul Stein, Arthur Lee Allen had professed his desire to kill a cab driver and claimed that he was the Zodiac. This was Ralph Spinelli, who was a career criminal. He had been arrested for several charges of armed robbery and was probably facing the rest of his life in prison. And he approached authorities asking to make a deal. He didn't want to go to prison, and in exchange, he would name Allen as the Zodiac.
By the time Spinelli came forward, the Graysmith book had been out for years. Allen's involvement in the Zodiac case was now public. And with this new testimony pointing at Allen, investigators once again took him seriously as a suspect.
The Vallejo Police Department relaunched their investigation of Arthur Lee Allen in 1991. The Vallejo Police Department consulted the FBI, and a profiler told them that if Allen was indeed the Zodiac, it was likely he still had some trophies or belongings from the victims and the crimes. They got another search warrant for his home, and the news broke in the media.
Here's a partial list of what police found in Allen's home in 1991. 4 pipe bombs, a Ruger 22 caliber revolver, a Zodiac brand watch, news clippings about the Zodiac case, a large hunting knife, a small flashlight, a Royal Manual typewriter. This typewriter had an important connection. The letters claiming responsibility for the murder of Sherry Jo Bates were made by a Royal Model typewriter. There were some things the police were able to determine at this point. Allen's shoe size matched the Zodiac's boot print from Lake Berryessa. Both used large knives, and both used the same guns and the same type of ammunition. Allen's home was searched several more times after this, and they found even more suspicious objects, but they never found anything that directly linked him to the Zodiac murders. For the third time, Arthur Lee Allen was exonerated. At least, officially.
Well, good cops have instincts. And when Toski talked to Allen, he creeped him out. You know, he thought he had a live one. That counts for a lot in an investigation.
This is San Francisco Chronicle journalist Kevin Fagan. He's the current reporter assigned to the Zodiac case. As part of that role, he's talked with all the lead investigators and journalists involved in this story, and he knows more about the prime suspect than just about anybody else. We went to Kevin Fagan to understand what investigators finally concluded about Allen.
Everyone who went to that house came away feeling, wow, this might well be the guy. He was a little shaky in his denials that he was the Zodiac. He was eager to talk a lot.
This is the Vallejo man many investigators consider to be the notorious Zodiac killer. And this is the first time his picture has been revealed. His name is Arthur Lee Allen. Are you the Zodiac killer?
there would be nothing farther from my mind. No, I'm certainly, most certainly not the Zodiac Killer.
He just came off like a possible guy. You get a tingle, and that's what I heard from everyone who talked to him back in the day. Alan has been the only one named directly as a suspect by any of the investigators. And he cropped up through Dave Toski, who was the main homicide inspector in San Francisco, who was working the case actively during the height of the Zodiac craze. He kept going back to Alan year after year after year, but he's been the guy for a lot of investigators.
There's so many lies I caught him in. It's his denying things didn't have any relevance anymore.
That was Vallejo PD Captain Roy Conway talking about Alan. Vallejo PD Detective George Bauert also spoke about Alan's guilt.
I feel that there are so many areas that point directly at Arthur Lee Allen that I feel that he is a viable suspect and in all probability the Zodiac.
Alan had a lot of aspects that tied him to the crimes. He owned boots identical to those worn by the Zodiac, according to the prints taken at the scenes. His favorite short story was The Most Dangerous Game, and the Zodiac in one of his letters talked about how he loved to hunt humans because they're the most dangerous game. It wasn't that obscure a story at the time, but it wasn't on everyone's mind. And the fact that Alan mentioned that and the fact that that got mentioned in the letter, you know, raises your eyebrows pretty high. He was picked out in a photo lineup by one of the victims, and he wore a watch that had Zodiac crosshairs on it. A lot of things matched. He looked like the sketch.
And remember, investigators also had the testimony of Don Chaney, an old friend of Alan's.
Yeah, Chaney had conversations with Alan that disturbed him. He thought Alan was making statements that fingered himself as the Zodiac. Now, I have to say that there are quite a few people who have gone to the police with similar accounts on different people. So, Yeah, just have to throw it into the mix and make what you can make of it.
Alan later retold his story about killing chickens during the Lake Berryessa attack. On this occasion, he told Toski he kept large bloody knives in his trunk.
Bloody knives in the trunk. Yeah, that just came off creepy. You start building up things like that, and the boots and the watch that he had. And the statements to his friend, it stacks up pretty high. There was enough there that my colleague at the Chronicle, Robert Graysmith, wrote a whole book naming Alan as the guy.
As far as I can tell, Alan seems to be the best suspect they've come up with.
And the last time I talked to Robert, which wasn't that long ago, he was convinced that Alan was still the Zodiac. It's one of those things that, you know, until it's over, it's never over. But a lot of things point to this guy. The fact that he was never charged, never convicted, leaves it an open question. He seemed to have a somewhat sad life. He was hounded by people who thought he was this killer. At least that's how he put it. He didn't like being named. He didn't like getting the visits from police.
About the only way the heat will stop is if I die, that'll cure it for me. Or if Zodiac himself confesses.
Yeah, it's difficult to say. If he really was the Zodiac, then he deserved all the attention he got. If he wasn't, then that's unfortunate, because even a criminal should have a chance to rehab his life and move on. I don't know. I never met Alan. The people I know who did thought he was disturbing, a low life, not a good guy. My impression is he did not live a joyous life leading up to his death in 1992. He had this cloud over him the whole time.
They haven't arrested me because they can't prove a thing. I'm not the damn Zodiac.
The Zodiac killer or victim of years of police harassment. Arthur Lee Allen took the answer to his grave.
Next time,
on Monster, the Zodiac Killer.
There's some serious, serious problems with Don Cheney and his credibility, and he's the foundation for all of this.
The Zodiac writing was very quickly and rapidly written, and I was of the opinion that it was the natural writing of that person. And there were numerous consistent differences with the writing of Arthur Lee Allen.
The idea that Michael Michaud could have accurately identified anyone was questionable even in 1969, so much so that Ed Rust actually wrote that into the report.
In my mind, if Arthur Lee Allen at 6'5", 250 plus pounds had walked up to that car, Michael Michaud would have said this guy was huge or something along that line.
It's got to be a really terrible place to be, to know that there's a book out there that claims you're the Zodiac, and people believe it.
I've never been known for good luck. I guess this is pretty much living proof of it. I couldn't murder anyone.
Monster, the Zodiac Killer, is a 15-episode podcast produced by iHeartRadio, HowStuffWorks, and Tenderfoot TV. Donald Albright and I are executive producers on behalf of Tenderfoot TV, alongside producers Meredith Stedman, Mason Lindsay, and Christina Dana. Jason Hoke is executive producer on behalf of HowStuffWorks, along with producers Trevor Young, Miranda Hawkins, Ben Kiebrick, and Josh Thane. Scott Benjamin provides additional voice talent. Matt Frederick is our host. Original music is by Makeup and Vanity Set. If you haven't already, make sure to check out the first season of Monster, called Atlanta Monster, about the Atlanta child murders from the late 70s to the early 80s. Download the 10-episode season right now. Have questions or comments? Email us at monster@howstuffworks.com, or you can call us at 1-833-285-6667. Thanks for listening.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.